As I mentioned in our earlier service, we're living in very traumatic days. And that seemed to have been brought before me back a month or so ago, actually in September the 20th of 09. You may remember that world leaders gathered in Pittsburgh, and they had hoped to solve a number of the world's problems. The economy, the disasters that have happened of, a God-inflicted nature, concerns with the markets, the financial markets, the chaos they were in, and so on. What I found so interesting about that week was basically this. While some were occupied with trying to bring order out of chaos, there were a number at that conference who were bent and determined to bring about destruction of their neighbors next to them on the planet. And man wonders why he can't bring about peace. Word of God says, "There's no peace, saith my God to the wicked." And that's the case. Shortly thereafter, there was an earthquake, measured 7.6 on the Richter, and it left more than 1,100 dead, and many hundreds were wounded and are hurt and unaccounted for. I have a friend in St. Catharines, and his company has an office in the Philippines where this took place, and they reported that there were 250 of their people who were lost in that experience. And one wonders how a company would function with that kind of a situation. But that was another catastrophe. And so it seems that there are all kinds of problems within our society, planet-wise and community-wise and family-wise. And so I just want this morning to encourage your heart, as I encourage my own, with a cure for anxiety. Now, maybe you're one of those fortunate enough never to worry about things. If you are, maybe you better check yourself out or check yourself in. Maybe that's a better phrase to use. But certainly, there's much to be concerned about, and yet that is not God's desire for you and for me. And He wants us to experience the calmness, the peace, the settledness of His presence. And I suggest that He would desire us to appreciate more fully the truth of Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, although this is not my text. Our conversation, or better word is our citizenship, is in heaven, from which also, we look for our Savior and so on. So our citizenship isn't in the United States or in Canada. Our real citizenship is in heaven. And young people and older ones, we should be anticipating with keen delight the day when finally we will arrive there. Let's read just three verses as we turn to Philippians chapter 4. And verse 5. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 5. Let your gentleness be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. This is my verse. The next two. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's pause and pray. Father, how thankful we are that amidst the toils and the concerns, frustrations and anxieties of a world destined for the flames, how thankful we are We have a God who loves, cares, and keeps. We pray, Father, this morning that this truth might be impressed upon each and every one of us as we have gathered here this morning. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your care in our Savior's precious name. We pray. Amen. In the events that I've briefly described, certainly anxiety within the general population is a realized experience. It's exciting to realize, however, that we are anticipating the Lord from heaven. And we actually read a reference to that in verse 5. Let your gentleness be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. And that expression is relative to the rapture. And so when we look around and we see the situation as it is, how wonderful it is to be able to rest on the fact that the Lord is at hand. He's coming, and as we mentioned in the earlier service, we believe very soon. We know that this is a truth that we should be appreciating more and more as the days go by. And yet, let's face it, if we're honest with one another, we do become concerned about the situation. But Paul says, be careful, and a better word for the word careful is anxious. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now that's Paul's solution for an anxious heart. And I trust and pray that as we work our way through these verses very quickly, that the goodness of God, in the goodness of God, we will accept and appreciate the teachings of the great little apostle. Be careful for nothing, or, as I have said, be anxious for nothing. It's interesting that in the original, it's even stronger, and it says this, don't be anxious about one thing. Now, what do? Put on blinkers and just hope for the best? No. I think it's a case of what follows and following that. And so, beloved, I want to encourage you this morning, as the apostle concerned encouraged those of his day and has left it on record that it might be applied to our day. It seems in the verses that we have read, there are just three things I want you to remember. Number one, there's a prohibition. Secondly, there's a proposal. And finally, there's a promise. And if you can just tuck those things away in your head, write them on your heart, I'm sure God will bless you. There's a prohibition in verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. As you and I have been saved by faith, we must accept and practice that truth by faith. I'm sure that the Philippians must have said, well, come on, Paul, be real. We're faced with these problems. But if you think Paul wasn't faced with problems of the like we have or a far greater magnitude, you haven't read 2 Corinthians chapter 11 in a long, long time. I encourage you to read it at your leisure and then appreciate this verse as having come from him. This is the man who said, 5 times I received 40 lashes, save one. 5 times the lash fell on his back, to a count of 39 on each occasion. That's 195 in total. That back of his bore 195 scars. He talks about being in the deep, lost in the deep, in the water of the seas that he traveled in his exploits for Christ. This man knew what he was talking about. And he said, beloved, be anxious for nothing, but in all things by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God, and so on. I want to suggest that Paul's suggestion here is this, just be refuse to be worried. But you say, this situation is in my life, and yours will differ from mine, and mine from yours. But regardless, that's the inspired word for it. He refused to worry. Why? Because the Lord's coming. And if the Lord is coming, then we know that everything is under His divine control. And nothing will happen unless it's by His permissive will. I hope and pray that whatever your situation might be, you're knowing the strength of this verse. The Lord Jesus Himself, while here on the planet, said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25, these words, now get them. Take no thought of your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not of greater value than they? Beloved, if the creatures that He has made have no concern, the Lord Jesus is saying, I made you. He could add the fact, I've redeemed you. I've bought you. You're mine. Therefore, I look after you, and you have no need to be concerned. The beloved Peter, that most dynamic individual of Scripture, he said with equal assurance, to scattered saints of the first century, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. How wonderful to know, beloved, that the Lord cares for us as an individual. Oh yes, He cares for the entire fellowship. But how thankful we are that He cares for you and He cares for me as individuals. And I can look back now over my life. And let's face it, it's almost gone. But as I look back over it, I can take you from point A to B to C and tell you of occasions in life where we have definitely known the care, the consideration, and the keeping power of our beloved Lord. And one thing is so unique about that, and I'm sure you've had the experience. You come up against the situation, and you say to yourself, now, how will I ever get through this situation? How, I just can't handle this. But then, the Spirit of God just gently reminds you, you remember back there, whatever that situation was, and I was there, wasn't I? I helped you. I guided you. I kept you through it. I brought you through it. Now, if He could do it then, what's to be assumed but this, He'll do it again. And as He met your need in the past, He'll meet the need for today, for this hour, in His plan and purpose. So Peter says, cast all your care upon Him. Why, Peter? Because He cares for you. When you get down on your knees at night, I hope you do, and when you begin your day in the same way, and I hope you do, do you thank Him for having cared for you? And then as you commit yourself to Him, remind Him again of His promise from the book that He will care for you. You know, I once saw a cartoon, and it was supposedly angels up in heaven, and there's a guy down on his knees on earth, and the angel who's on the receiving end said, what do you know? He didn't ask for anything. Sometimes in our prayer life, I'm afraid, it just becomes like a grocery list. And we start at A and we finish at Z, and that's it. But beloved, that's not real prayer. That's making requests, I know. But prayer includes praise, thanksgiving, and adoration. And I hope and pray that there are times when you get down on your knees and you intentionally don't have anything to ask Him for. Just go into the presence of God and express to Him your appreciation of His greatness and His grandeur, His might, His power, His love, His grace, His forbearance, and all the beautiful attributes He possesses, and He showers them upon you and me. And we express our gratitude in that way to Him. I want to encourage you. I'd suggest, too, that if that's the kind of a prayer life you and I have, you know what will happen? It will reflect itself in the worship within the assembly. And when brethren come together with the sisters, and sisters take their part in raising the tone of their worship and the assembly's worship in an inaudible fashion, the assembly's blessed. And when brethren get on their feet to praise God, let us, brethren, come with the objective of having something to put on the altar, as it were, and thank God for His goodness to us. All speaking in a worthy fashion about His beloved Son. Let's worship. And of course, worship simply means to tell God of His worth as far as we're concerned, putting it in its simplest form. But I'm concerned, I'll be honest with you, as I move from assembly to assembly, I'm afraid we have lost a part of the valuable part of worship. I can remember when I was a young believer, and as brethren rose to their feet, and they worshiped, and they wept, and we were in the presence of God. Now, how was it that happened? That happened because those men were in God's presence during the week. Jimmy Bai. I only heard Jimmy Bai pray once. And he got up during a meeting when the presence of God was being felt. Jimmy said, "Lord Jesus, I just want to give thanks to You for dying for me. I can't say anything more. Amen." And he sat down. And what happened? Everybody wept. Because Jimmy was expressing their feelings as he expressed his worship, and he told the Lord of His worth. Oh, brethren and sisters, let's be exercised as we come on a Lord's Day morning to come with hearts that are full. Why? Because we've been in this book, and we've been on our knees, and we have learned something of the worth of the Lord Jesus. We want to just come and tell them we appreciate it. And the saints will be blessed. And the worship will rise. And the assembly will grow. And God's presence will be known in a very vital and wonderful way. Never forget a young girl in her teens in our assembly a number of years ago. And you know, the worship meeting that morning, we've been right in His presence. She said to me, "Arna, you know, I wished so much I could give out a hymn." And she showed me the hymn. She still had it in her book. She said, "I wanted to give that hymn out. But you know what? Brother so-and-so got up and gave it out." That's godly order. See, she was exercised. Maybe she even said, "Oh Lord, please, I want to sing this hymn this morning. This hymn reflects the feelings of my heart. Please, exercise a brother to do it." And a man that was in touch with God rose and gave out the same hymn. I had a godly grandfather. I never knew him. But he was a man of God. And I was told later in life by my mother and others. In fact, it was in one of the assembly meetings. There was a big conference in the city of Toronto in Massey Hall, a huge building. We didn't have the refined PA system such as we have now. And a little brother with a very weak voice at the back of the auditorium got up and gave out a hymn. My grandfather was at the front of the auditorium. He didn't even hear him. And he got up and gave out the same hymn. Why? Because two men were in touch with God. Kids, you dear young people, go in for fellowshipping with God. Know him. Love him. Appreciate him. Express your gratitude to him, and God will bless you. So, what does Paul say? He says, be anxious for nothing. But then he's got a proposal. And his proposal is simply this. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. One writer has said, there is nothing too great for God's power, and nothing too small for a father's care. When I get down on my knees at night, there are some nights between you and me, I just put that prayer list aside. And I just tell the Lord, Lord, I just want to tell you what I think of you. I want to tell you about those that have specific concerns. And I plead with you tonight to meet their needs. But the regulations and the regularity of going in a formal manner and a rote type system, lay it aside and go into his presence with a heart that's full. Here the word prayer is a very interesting word. When used in its original form again, it meant worship and devotion. I wonder when I last went into the Lord's presence and told him what I thought of himself and his son. Maybe you'll be like me. You'll find it very quick when you run out of things that you really want to tell him. Let's go in for knowing the beauties and the value of our beloved Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We should be in that attitude. After all, he loved me and he died for me and for you. And shouldn't that cause us concern, interest, and desire to tell him, Lord, I love you. I really appreciate your work for me on Calvary's cross. Brother was sharing with me this morning after the first service the fact that he appreciated so much the fact that the Lord Jesus had died for him. He'd been enjoying that all week. And beloved, let's aim and aspire to be that kind of an individual. So prayer is a matter of worship and devotion. The writer of the Hebrews in 4 and 16 said this, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We're welcome at the throne. We're invited to come. You know, there are those that feel they must go through a particular system and even go through another man. But thanks be to God, we have the invitation to go directly to the throne of God. Not in a bold fashion, but rather in one of deepest gratitude and appreciation. We go into his presence and he meets our need. Yes, there's a proposal. And then there's supplication. To plead simply with a heartfelt entreaty, not only for self, but for others as well. Paul exhorted a broad prayer life. He says, but notice this in verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Brethren, that we might have that kind of an attitude in everything, the big things and the little things. You know, there are times, even very recently, when I've been concerned about what you would consider small. And really, as I examined, it was. But it was a situation in which I desperately needed the Lord's help. And you know what? I prayed. And he answered the prayer. So how small the matter might be to you is unimportant. Leave it with Him as you go through the day. You don't need to close your eyes and get down on your knees, especially if you're driving your car or doing anything that's taking that type of attention. But the thought process goes to the throne, and God blesses and complies according to His will. Plead with heartfelt entreaty and sincerity, and God, according to Paul, through His word, why He'll hear and answer. In the tearful time of Gethsemane, the Lord Jesus appreciated the Father's presence when He was alone in the garden and He cried to His Father. Can you imagine that? The Lord Jesus, the darling Son of the Father in heaven, and He's on His knees crying to God, His Father, for the help in that dreadful hour. He realized the cross was drawing ever nearer. And that being the case, His Father's will and His Father's plan were so necessary. And He wanted to be in the Father's will. Beloved, our Lord felt it necessary during the, shall I say, the mundane things of life, that He often frequented the garden of prayer and knew what it was to pour His heart out to God. I love the words of the psalmist, 34 verse 6. He says, "This poor man cried." The thought here is this insecure man. Ever felt like that? Ever felt, Lord? It's beyond me to handle this situation. I can't. So this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Beloved, He's promised to do it. Helen and I went through a very serious problem in life. Not between the two of us, but it was a problem that was affecting us. And we were heartbroken. The Lord gave us Psalm 50, verse 15. It's a great verse. What does it say? Call upon Me in the day of trouble. Period. No. Call upon Me in the day of trouble, and I will hear thee and deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify Me. Beloved, that's the kind of a God you have. Call on Him. He promises to hear. He promises to answer. And do you know what He says at the end? And thou shalt glorify Me. And the Lord took us through those three steps. And there came the time when collectively Helen and I were able to glorify our Father in heaven for what He had done through the whole experience. And so, go in for it, and God will bless you. But then notice what He says here. He speaks about thanksgiving. And He says, be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Lord, I'm leaving this with You, and I'm thankful I can. Lord, I leave it with You for Your involvement and to work out as You see fit. And so you leave it with thanksgiving and let your requests be made known unto God. The peace of God. Oh, the peace of God. Thanks be to God for that peace. But you remember, there were those that experienced the touch of the Lord in his life. He, on one occasion, 10 lepers came. And he healed all 10. And one came back to thank him. In other words, said, why are there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Beloved, don't forget to say thank You. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for Your permissive will and plan in answering my prayer. I appreciate it. And as you thank him, he'll continue to bless you. Mary Magdalene, remember in Luke 7:38, she stood at his feet weeping. She wept as she thought of all he had done for her. There's another rendering of that verse I love. It says this, she stood at his feet, raining tears. She appreciated it. Beloved, I suggest that an appreciative heart is received with such a wonderful response by the Father. Go in for it. But then, after Thanksgiving, as I mentioned, there's the promise of 4 and 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The Lord Jesus has that desire along with the Father. My introduction, I mentioned a distraught world in sin and one that's ripening for judgment. Beloved, there's a request we could be making of our God, that as individuals and as a corporate witness, we might be seen as those who are in touch with the Lord and who have the plan of salvation to make it possible for lost and straying men. So he says, be anxious for nothing, but in all things by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What a promise! Well, Lord, I can't worry about that today. I've left it with you. And therefore, I know it's in the most capable hands. And leave it to him to work out in his divine will and purpose. Apostle said in Romans 5 and verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The peace of which Paul's speaking in Philippians 4 is a special peace, I want to suggest. It passes all understanding. You can't fathom it. You can't understand it. But he answers in his will. And you know, he did so. And you can but thank him. Remember, when the disciples were in the little storm-tossed craft on the Galilee, and the little boats rising from the crest, from the trough rather, to the crest of each succeeding wave. And they were disturbed, and they woke him up, and they said, Master, don't you care that we perish? Those boys were upset. That was real supplication. They weren't fooling around. They envisaged themselves going to the bottom. But they'd forgotten that the one that made the bottom was in the boat. And he would look after them. Oh, beloved, that you and I might appreciate him more and more. After the sea has immediately calmed, 1 minute they're on the top of the crest, and the next they're on a glassy sea. What does this book say? And immediately there was a great calm. And you know, when that heart of yours is troubled beyond description, and you go into his presence with this attitude, I suggest you'll come out with a great calm. And you know, they looked around and they said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obeys? I like how W.E. Vine renders it. He puts it this way. They look at one another and they say, from what country has this man come? Even the wind and the waves obey him. From what country had he come? He'd come from one in the glory. He'd come from heaven and he'd come to earth. And he was going to bless those that he loved, as he most certainly did on this occasion. And you know what? He loves you. And he loves me just as much as he loved those fishermen in their little boat. And he'll bless us and he'll keep us. And the promise is this, the peace of God. Who can describe the peace of God? No one. which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So may we know and enjoy the luxury of that peace of His presence. Beloved, the one who grants peace beyond all understanding is the one who made peace by the blood of His cross. And He did it for you, and He did it for me. As we anticipate the peace that passeth all understanding, oh, may we appreciate again, looking unto Jesus, according to the Hebrew writer in 12 and verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Our concerns of life will fade away because we're occupied with Him and with Him alone. Peace shall keep us, and we'll be kept by Him and for Him. How wonderful to know the thought that we're being kept by Him. I believe the thought of the writer here is simply this. It's like one, a force of people, an army, being attacked by another, but they've got a ring about them to protect them from the invaders. And that's what this verse says. You'll be kept by that all-powerful force of God and His presence against that which would cause you concern and anxiety. He wants to keep you and bless you. I encourage you to believe Philippians 4, 5, 6, and 7. Put it in your heart. Rest on it. Pray on it. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, make your requests known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. May God bless you. Shall we pray? Father, for Thy love, for Thy Son, for Thy Spirit, for Thy Word, we gratefully thank You. We pray that today each of us will walk with a lighter step, knowing that our times are in Thy hands. And our God, who loved and sent His Son for our salvation, is still caring and keeping His beloved people. Father, thank You for every blessing You bestow upon us. Now, as our friends would leave on a lengthy journey on possibly dangerous roads and concerned traffic, we just pray that Your good hand will be upon them, that as they travel, they'll know the joy of the Lord that passes all understanding as well. Bless at the conference. May the presence of God be known by men with the responsibility to preach Thy word. And may glory be brought to Thee and to Thy Son, we pray in Jesus' worthy name.